Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 58 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, what'd you do this week?
I had my weekly theme park visit over to Animal Kingdom. And had a really pleasant rainy afternoon. Rain is the best time to see. So go out of the water. I got up close with some giraffes, and that is always great. But the highlight of my week of working on the Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Reunion, which we did last week. It was a great success. Well over 1,000 people who watched the live stream, hopefully made a little bit of money for the Gopar charity here in town. But we got a lot of the old Bill and Ted people back together to see each other for the first time in like 20 years. A lot of great memories. The video is still on our YouTube channel, so please check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's like 2.5 hours. Take a break. Your way through it, but please check it out and donate to Gopar if you can.
Yeah, Seth got to run the board.
I was the man behind the curtain. I was literally a death for those of you who are Bill and Ted fans. I didn't shave my head, but I love my face, so it's all.
Well, before I get into what I did this week, we have a super chat. I don't think this ever happened on here before. Movie Guy 134 says, are you hyped for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2? And send us $5. And my answer is,
oh my gosh,
yes, please.
Well, I'll be just hyped for it, even though I do not own a Nintendo Switch. I will be hyped for it, simply because you felt strongly enough about that question to send us cash.
I really hope it comes out next year.
Should I finally invest in a Switch?
Yes. Yes. If anything, Breath of the Wild is like one of the most incredible open world RPGs ever. It's so good.
The only problem is I've not yet figured out a way to play a Switch at the same time I'm wearing my Oculus Quest. So I way to make that compatible. I'm not sure if I can do it.
Would it entice you more if I said that there was a VR Labo kit, the cardboard thing, and you can play Breath of the Wild in VR?
Cardboard is not real VR. Cardboard is almost what killed VR.
Cardboard. The thing is made of cardboard. You build it yourself. Uh-oh, he froze. Oh, no. Seth. I'm back. Well, Movie Guy 134, thank you so much for the super chat. I'm super excited. It's about to be a great year for games. PlayStation comes out in 2 weeks. Hopefully I get mine. Amazon said that I may not get it initially, so we'll see what happens. Can't wait. Thank you for the super chat. Thanks so much. Well, while Seth has vanished, let's get into the news, and I have something cool to try with you guys this week. Headphone users, this is your warning. It might be a little loud. How's that for an upgrade? We finally figured out how to do it and get the audio to play. So, boom, bam. All right. First things first, I'm just going to go ahead and run with it since Seth is not here. All right. First thing, Disney helped make Make-A-Wish grant their 500,000th wish to celebrate the organization's 40th anniversary, which is super awesome. And the story about this particular wish, Karina wanted to give other Wish kids like herself a day where they wouldn't have to worry about being sick and the problems that come with it. Think about doctor's visits and the hospital and everything. So she wanted to use her wish to create that experience for her fellow Wish kids. And it was just so sweet and kind and selfless. And it was just a really sweet story. If you have a chance to read it and you want to have some feel-good feels, go check it out. It's such a sweet, kind story.
I agree completely. So, as I was saying...
I didn't even say what I did this week. Played Pokemon, by the way.
So that was kind of tragic.
Yeah, right. What happened?
The odd thing is that my computer insisted that my internet was perfectly fine until it told me I didn't have any internet at all.
What?
Which was about a minute after you froze up, which I assume means I froze up.
Yeah, so you did.
So I'm going to have a talk with AT&T.
John week. Said it's AT&T strikes again.
AT&T has been getting worse and worse for me.
That's what happened with us.
They really got me on the verge. That's all I got to say. So I switched to a completely different Wi-Fi network now, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Oh my gosh, we got another super chat. What? Corey 927 sent us $4.99. Said Happy Halloween this week, foolish mortals. Attractions Mag is the best. No mourning, please, at Master Gracie's request. Thank you so much, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
That's so sweet. Awesome. I'm really excited for Halloween, even though we're probably not going to do anything.
I officially marked our house on our next door neighborhood map, so that makes it real, right?
I guess it does. Our neighborhood is doing, like, there are lots of younger kids that live in our neighborhood, and I think they're going to do, like, a safe trick-or-treating experience for them. We might put out, like, bags of candy that we made with, like, gloves on, sanitized and everything, but we'll have to see. They did a pumpkin carving thing on Friday where everyone stood 6 feet apart and pulled the guts out of pumpkins.
We went to a goat farm that also had a pumpkin patch. So we got to play with baby goats.
Aww.
And pick out a pumpkin. But I don't know. I'm kind of into, like, decorating the outside of the pumpkin without the carving part.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less labor, and I feel like it's less cruel to the pumpkins. You know?
I can't say no to the pumpkin seeds after. Oh,
yeah. It's a bit of work, though. Every time I've tried it, it's either overcooked or undercooked. Do you have a technique?
I just use my mom's recipe. Moms know best. Hers are always really good, but I don't like to eat them. I just like to throw them in and then spit them out. I'm weird, I guess.
No judgment.
Okay. Next up, since you missed the first one, more Make-A-Wish stuff. Since Make-A-Wish is celebrating their 40th anniversary, Disney has teamed up with them to create a new color collection called Wishes Come True Blue. And it's like a royal blue color. There's so many things coming out for this collection that you can already find on Shop Disney and at the parks, like mini ears, this adjustable ear headband, which I assume is for babies or dogs. Probably both, depending on how much effort you put into it. Plenty of spirit jerseys, dad hats, Crocs. Come on, Crocs are cool again.
Again? That implies they were cool at some point.
All the Hypebeast kids wear Crocs now. I think they're cool. Mickey Mouse bangle from Alex and Ani. These masks. Yeah. I really like these masks. They're from Spirit Jersey, which I didn't know Spirit Jersey made masks, but I really love the fit and the shape. I'm always a bigger fan of, like, the more form-fitting mask versus just, like, the traditional surgical fold. Yeah. So these are really nice.
And this is 2020, which means we are now admiring $13 face masks
yep.
as a fashion accessory.
I would be lying if I said I wasn't looking at masks online yesterday, because I was like, oh, these are cute. You've got a couple bags from Loungefly, always super cute. And then these sweaters. I thought they were spirit jerseys at first, but this is on the front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, different. And then more spirit jerseys, leggings, t-shirts, and
I gotta say, I'm a fan of the vintage looking Disneyland and Walt Disney World logo, those t-shirts.
I love a good ringer tee, but these are only for kids.
Only for kids. You know, they seem to come out with great merchandise and then only sell it in sizes that no one is, or, you know, and yeah, make this stuff available for the adults.
Yeah.
They're the ones are paying.
I don't want to have to buy a 14, 16 to be able to wear this. this is really cool for you John Wick fans out there. There's going to be a roller coaster themed to the movies. And I know what you're going to say. This roller coaster is at Six Flags. And I would say, you're right. But not this one.
Well, actually, this roller coaster was supposed to be at a Six Flags. I do believe that this track was originally built for Six Flags Dubai. A lot of those coasters that were built for those projects were manufactured and never installed. And I'm pretty sure that this is a Zack Spin, which is the same model coaster we've seen at some Six Flags in the States. And it was supposed to be a Zack Spin for Six Flags Dubai, but instead they've wrapped the Continental Hotel around the front of it and called it a John Wick ride.
I love the John Wick movies. They're a blast to watch. But what I'm most curious about with this attraction is that there are two experiences, depending on if you want to help John Wick or hunt him down.
Yes. And my interpretation of that is that it depends whether you're going to be facing forward or backward on the cars. Because if you look at the cars, you know, they probably have a slightly different cue, maybe, that takes people in from one side or the other. There's not two different, completely different rides there. I think it's a matter of which way you're positioned in the ride vehicle. I personally, if I'm gonna go all that way for a John Wick ride, I want it to be a shooter dark ride.
Yes.
You know, I want something to be a little bit more like the experience of being John Wick on screen. But, you know, I guess it's better than a bare unthemed steel coaster. I think a lot of this is gonna come down to how cool the queue and the pre-show is.
Yes.
You know, because ultimately that's what's going to sell the experience. They've also got a Now You See Me roller coaster that looks more of like a kiddie coaster. It doesn't look to be nearly as extreme, but hopefully that will also have some cool theming leading up to the roller coaster portion of the experience.
Yeah, they didn't have a press photo of that for me to download and throw in here, but you can look it up and see what it's supposed to look like in renderings. Yeah, this sounds cool, but no disrespect to Bourne, but I would have really liked a John Wick stunt show.
Oh, wow.
That would have been cool.
They would just have gone through too many bullets.
Yeah.
Just be like, the cost for ammo on that would just be way too high.
And the dog, they would have to like make sure he's saved at the end or something.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it could be like you combine the animal actors show with Bourne show.
See, there you go. And then they're saving money. You're welcome, Universal. That one's free. This, I'm excited to watch Willow because I've never seen it before. But Willow is coming back. They heard you. They've heard your pleas and your cries, and it's coming back to Disney Plus in the form of a series with Warwick Davis and Ron Howard returning. So get excited.
And John M. Chu, who's turned into a really great director.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be kind of helming the pilot and setting the direction of it, kind of like Jon Favreau has done for The Mandalorian. But having Ron Howard, and I believe the original writer, is also on board in a producing role. Of course, you couldn't do this without Warwick Davis. no mention of Val Kilmer, though, I notice. No one's talked about him yet. So we'll see if anyone else from the original film shows up. But I think it's really cool that Lucasfilm is not just mining the Star Wars content, but they're going into their back catalog. And hopefully that means Indiana Jones won't be too far behind that. I noticed there's no date for release. They say it's going to begin production in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that we're not going to see this until very late in 2021 or probably 2022.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will be worth the wait. God knows Willow fans have been waiting long enough for, you know, they never got any kind of sequel or spinoff.
Yeah.
We had a video game that wasn't all that great. Yeah.
I don't know how I missed this as a kid, but I am a sucker for high fantasy anything, so I will definitely throw this on. It's on Disney Plus if you haven't watched it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. Catch up, for sure.
Yeah, catch up.
I also was happy to see, I think it's interesting, Kathleen Kennedy is listed as also one of the producers on this, and there are constant rumors in the Star Wars Twitterverse that she's on the outs and she's going to be fired and she's going to be replaced. No, sorry. She's still right there, folks. She's, yes. So,
Kathy,
good for you, Kathy.
Yeah, she's the boss.
she's not going anywhere.
In unrelated movie news that I don't have up here because we didn't write it up, they showed the first set photo of Tom Holland as Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the wardrobe for sure. He's got a kind of the half tuck shirt and the hip lean kind of thing. I personally always wanted to see that role being played by Nathan Fillion. But this is a prequel, right? This is set before the games, so
yeah.
that's why he's like a teenager or early 20 something.
Every time I look at Tom Holland, I see a small cherub baby, even though he's not that much younger than me.
So adorable.
Exactly. You just want to like pinch his little cheeks. He's so.
Right.
But.
He kind of works as a dorky Peter Parker. And how he's going to grow into a kick ass Nathan Drake, we'll see. But it'll happen. It'll happen. I'm sure it'll be. Hey, I mean, it's got to be better than the Tomb Raider movie, right?
Yeah, I really love the reboot games. I'm playing through the Uncharted collection now. I finished the first one yesterday and started the second one. So I'm making my way through. They were free on PlayStation Now like a month or two ago. So I just got them all.
I feel like at some point in my life, I should get just a PS4, even not even bother with a PS5, and just catch up on the last decade of Sony exclusives that I've never gotten through.
You could probably get a really good bundle with some like Spider-Man or something. You have to play Spider-Man,
but then again it's so hard to play it while wearing your Oculus Quest.
See,
so hard.
Step back into the olden days of video games.
Flat gaming is just done.
Flat gaming.
Pancake.
This I wanted to get your thoughts on. Adventures by Disney is coming back, and they're offering a new kind of excursion destination trip called Private Adventures, which are basically your average Adventures by Disney trip, but with smaller groups of up to mm-hmm. 12 people.
I think that, first of all, this is assuming that these countries start allowing Americans back in,
right?
which is an optimistic assessment at this point, but assume that the borders are open. I think this is kind of the future of this kind of travel, at least in the short term, that it's going to be the 1% of the 1% who can afford to take their families on this kind of thing, And, you know, for the people who are going to be able to afford it in this new world, I'm sure cost is no object. And I know Disney will provide an amazing personal experience for them. I thought it was interesting that, you know, these Adventures by Disney used to be, they're very well curated, but it was kind of like, you know, you had to be within this certain age range, you know, it was not for little kids.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be like, we'll make it fit whatever your family is, who, you know, if because you're basically going to be, you know, the Adventures by Disney was already not a cheap offering. And now basically going to, it's basically the equivalent of buying out an entire tour, I'm sure. It's the kind of thing where if you have to ask how much they cost, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But I am certain that when they are able to offer them things on the high end like this, are going to sell out, because the people who are still able to afford it, there's going to be pent up demand against them. They want to get out of the country, and Disney will feel like a safe way to do it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. If you can't read this tiny type, there are only 5 countries that are being planned for departure dates in 2021, should everything go according to plan, and that's Costa Rica, Egypt, Greece, Italy, and Peru. So if you are in the market, we don't know pricing just yet. John asked.
Thank you, John.
We don't know pricing just yet, but as Seth said, if you have to ask... you're probably not the demo for it.
Basically, if you bring your family, be prepared to leave your eldest child behind, because they will be they will be the cause.
Jeez, yeah. SeaWorld Orlando has brought back Inside Look with adjustments made for limited capacity.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. First, let's say what SeaWorld says is happening.
Okay, what SeaWorld says is happening is Saturdays and Sundays, the weekends of November 7th and November 15th, guests will be able to go to a various amount of locations, the Rescue Center, the Fish House, Antarctica, Shark Encounter, Pacific Point Preserve, and the Orca Encounter in small groups, to have the Inside Look experience where they get to meet with animal experts and learn about the care of the animals at the park. And then there's also trainer talks. Yes, trainer talks that will take place at these areas as well that are socially distant. And then they have restaurant offerings, 2 different meal experiences. Sharks Underwater Grill will offer an experience where you can dine with a member of the aquarium team who will share more about the world of sharks, and Dine with Orcas, where guests can dine next to the orcas and hear from their animal care experts, with both restaurants offering physically distant seating, limited capacity, frequently sanitized tables and chairs, no condiment or topping stations, and no refillable products will be accommodated.
Okay. So all of that sounds fantastic, and SeaWorld's trainers do a great job and are really interesting, and I would love to go and listen to them. However, we have to talk about their idea of limited capacity. Attractions Magazine put some photos out you might have seen on social media of just showing the lines of people just to get in towards the gates, towards the turnstiles, and we didn't see a lot of social distancing, we didn't see a lot of mask wearing, we didn't see a lot of limited capacity. It's, you know, in fairness, SeaWorld was not alone in being crowded this weekend. Universal, first time that I can ever remember this happening, where they shut down Islands Adventure altogether to new people by 9:30. Both parks were shut by like 11 a.m. and they never reopen. You know, typically parks will, you know, get really busy in the morning, early afternoon, and then by late in the day, people start to leave and they didn't even let people back in. You know, they weren't letting people into City Walk. Unless you were staying in a hotel, you were not getting anywhere nearby. So while I believe that there probably is limited capacity in the sense that there's still limited rider capacity on their attractions, you know, what we talked about a few weeks and a few months ago about, you know, the parks are empty and it's a great time to visit. It's not like that right now, especially on the weekends. And I can only see that an event like this bringing even more people in on the weekends. It would be great, you know, the weekdays are dead right now. It would be great if some of these things that they're using to increase attendance on the weekends were spread out throughout the week.
Yeah.
You know, every week I think, well, you know, next week maybe it'll start to quiet down a little. But every single week it seems to just be getting busier and busier and busier. And that's, I mean, that's great news, economically speaking, for the people who are, you know, depending on hours, it being scheduled to go into the parks and work.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of concerning because I feel like right now a lot of the pinch points are still like designed for like 25% capacity, and we're seeing right now closer to like 50% capacity, and in that case 50% feels like 200%. So I don't know, I really, any of our listeners out there who are have been to SeaWorld this past weekend or are planning on going to one of these events in the weekends coming up, please you know, let us know your experience. Hit us up on social media, because I'd love to see how it is.
Same. All I can think about is it was a photo that we posted a while ago, but it was at one of the animal enclosures, and there were the stickers on the ground that were like, stand here, and everyone was standing everywhere.
Some of those things are really hard. It's, you know, it's not enough to just put signs around. It takes people constantly reminding each other. And it's, you know, it's kind of like it takes a village. Like, it's got to be the employees, and not just the employees who are there for, you know, sanitation and safety, but like every employee. But it also has to be all the guests looking out for each other, too. And yeah, it's not easy. So I do know that if that was happening on a weekday and I knew I could slip in there and have it be really quiet, I would definitely check out some of those training, those animal training encounters. That's for sure.
For sure. We've got dates for the Taste of Epcot International Festival of the Arts.
So it's just a taste of the Festival of the Arts, kind of like we had a taste of the of the Food and Wine Festival, and we're going to get a taste of the holidays. So I guess a taste is better than nothing, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I guess so. The taste of the festival will run from January 8th through February 22nd, 2021, with 15 food studios, lots of artwork on display from Disney artists and other artists that were invited. Photo locations, you know, the ones where you stand in the painting and it's Washington crossing the Delaware. The paint by numbers will be back, which I was very surprised to see. And then they will have live art demonstrations, performances from Mariachi Cobre and the Jammeters. The Figment scavenger hunt will be back. And of course, festival exclusive merchandise.
I gotta say, of all the Epcot festivals, this is personally my favorite one. The food is the prettiest food that they have all year round. They really, it all tastes good, but they really put the extra effort into plating during this festival. That mural, I think the way they'll do it is, you know, they kind of hand out each person their own individual paintbrush and little thing of paint, which will, I'm sure, be sanitized. And then they'll just space people out and make sure they don't have too many people doing it at any one time, I guess. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. But, you know, there are so many performers and artists in this town right now who are hurting for work. And beyond that, on Broadway, Broadway is shut down. There are so many Broadway performers. I love Mariachi Cobre and Jammeters, but they've been performing nonstop through, you know, for basically since the pandemic reopening, you know, all the way through the festival. That's just been the two of them. And I think that they're great at what they do, but, you know, I think there's an opportunity here. Maybe you don't sell the dinner packages. Maybe you can't have as big names, but you could bring someone down from New York who's used to being on Broadway and is now, you know, can't pay the rent, and let them sing on that stage. Or even, you know, local equity performers who are still not back at the Festival of the Lion King or the Finding Nemo show, you know, let them get on that stage and do some songs. That's the only, it's a festival of the arts without the arts, or at least not the arts the way we need them right now. So, yeah, you know, I think that with the big American Gardens Theater and some of the other outdoor places they have opportunities to do some performances that are socially distant and safe. And I'd love to see them take every opportunity that they can, if nothing else, just to put performers back at work.
Yeah, that's if I had to pick one thing that made this my favorite, it would be the Disney on Broadway concert series. So you can't beat those performances.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, and you've gotten so lucky with people.
So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I follow.
I'm sure some of them could use a trip out of New York right now. Right. No, I don't know. New York to Florida isn't really an improvement.
Yeah.
I guess it's better.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's safer than the Midwest at the moment, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I follow a handful of performers from shows that I really like Moulin Rouge and Hadestown, and they're all just, like, hanging out in their apartments in Brooklyn, like, what am I supposed to do? Yep. Can't pay the bills.
Yep. So, Disney, yeah. bring these folks down here.
Do it. Come on. Okay. We're not going to have Broadway for like a whole year.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing for news in the queue before we get to the main attraction. And it was really hard to not throw this into main attraction this week, but we had like three big contenders. So
yeah.
At least this makes
this is a good second place.
Yes. Universal Beijing Resort has shared a ton of new imagery and information on the resort hotels, the park's lands, and a few of the rides. And it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Most of it is concept art, I will give you that. But there are some construction imagery and videos in the video that they released, which you can watch on our page.
I was going through that video like the Subruder film. Like, you know, pause, rewind, back and to the left, you know. Because there's a lot packed in there. Some of it goes past really quick. So, yeah, watch that more than once. It's cool. On one hand, it's kind of a greatest hits of Universal attractions from existing parks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got, like, just enough stuff that's unique that I really would like to visit. I don't.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, the big highlight is Jurassic World.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, first built from the ground up Jurassic World. And, they're not getting the gyrosphere ride that we all kind of dreamed of, but they are getting something that's kind of like a Spider-Man or Transformers style ride vehicle. But from what I understand, it'll have animatronic dinosaurs and not just 3D screens. There's that one shot. Now, so, okay, if you zoom in, there's this one shot that seems to be a T-Rex and an Indominus fighting each other. If you look carefully in the background, it looks like they're in a laundry facility. Like, there's costumes on racks or clothes, you know, on dry cleaning racks. So I don't know if you were, like, backstage behind the theme park at Jurassic World or what exactly the setting is of that scene. But yeah, I'm excited for that one. And the Kung Fu Panda boat ride also looks pretty cool.
Yes.
It's like a flume boat ride, but it mixes physical effects and projections. And then they've kind of like, you know, taken stuff like Despicable Me and dressed it up. So like, you know, rides that we're familiar with from the parks over here, but like bigger lands, more immersive. Kind of feel like if they were to rebuild Universal Studios Florida from scratch, this is kind of the style they would go with instead of the, you know, big sound stages, the big boxes.
Yeah. I love the street that Minion Mayhem is on. That's just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it looks a lot like the one that they have in California, except, you know, built out even more.
Yeah. And then I'm really excited. Where is it? For this, the lights, camera, action stunt show thing with Spielberg.
It looks, at least from the concept art, looks similar to the show that they have in Singapore, which also ends with a big ship crashing into a building.
Cool.
But it's sort of like, you know, it goes in that tradition of Twister and Backdraft, which we don't have in this country anymore, which is neat. I also gotta say, the Transformers Land is this kind of like weird hybrid of Marvel Superhero Island and Transformers. It's got like the Hulk coaster, except now it's Devastator wrapped around the tunnel, so it's a Decepticoaster. But I almost want to go to this park just for the animatronic Bumblebee DJ that's overseeing their spinner ride. I guess that's like their version of the Stormforce Accelerotron. Just the idea that Bumblebee is playing DJ for a spin and puke is just the most awesome thing ever.
They saw DJ Rex and they were like, what can
yes,
we do?
Exactly. Exactly.
One other thing that I really loved when I was reading about this was in the Kung Fu Panda Land. It's indoors, at least I believe that hasn't changed, but they have it set up to where the seasons will change throughout the year inside the land, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, and they're using blossoms on a tree, handmade, handcrafted blossoms, and mixed that and digital technology, and it's kind of part of their way of integrating the universal characters with traditional Chinese culture. Kind of a similar way that Disney did when they came in with Shanghai.
I'm super excited. I believe they're also supposed to get Nintendo at some point.
Yeah, I think at some point every Universal Resort is supposed to get Nintendo eventually. I think Singapore, I believe, was next up after the current projects. But I think Beijing, that might be on the long-term plan. Yeah. I also hope that they've left some room for a... We didn't even mention Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But,
it's kind of the same.
Yeah, you know, after they've cloned Hogsmeade so many times, hopefully they've left a little bit of expansion pad room for a Hagrid's out there.
Oh, man.
Because it's hard for me now to go to a Hogsmeade without Hagrid.
That's the new draw.
Yep.
I can't wait to see the aviary in action too at Jurassic World.
Yeah, it's really it seems like it's got a glassed-in enclosure with a Camp Jurassic and a family-friendly hanging coaster. So it's sort of like our Pteranodon Flyers, except hopefully adults will be able to ride it.
Well, we'll have to go. This is another work trip on the list. This opens in May of next year.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
Yep. I say Beijing and Osaka would make a good 1-2.
If you're listening, Matt.
He's got plenty of frequent flyer miles, I'm sure.
Right.
No problem.
We can take care of that. Okay.
All right,
and then,
drum roll.
Yes. For news in the queue, it's a... for main attraction, it's a kind of a twofer. I figured we could combine them because they are directly related.
Absolutely.
Part one, California has finally released their guidelines for reopening the theme parks, and they're probably not going to open for a while.
They're pretty rough, yeah.
It's pretty rough. The long and the short of it, they go by a color coding system as far as the spread of COVID-19, with purple being the worst and yellow being almost completely eradicated, like 1 to 3 cases in each county, and it's by county. Currently, I believe Orange County is in red, the color code? Yes.
Yes.
So orange, where Disneyland and Knott's is, last I checked, they were coded red, which is one below purple. They have to be in yellow in order to open the parks with limited capacity, specially dated tickets, face masks being enforced, the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the parks have reacted negatively to this because it basically says you're staying closed until this is over.
Yeah. In order to get down to that level, it requires so few new cases per 100,000 at the rate they're going there. I don't think it's achievable this year.
Yeah.
It's something that will be almost impossible to do until a vaccine is widespread. I mean, I can definitely understand the parks feeling like they are being discriminated against because there are a lot of other attractions, businesses, things like aquariums and zoos that have been allowed to reopen. The parks are definitely, the state has their reasons why they feel that parks should be held to a stricter guideline.
Mm-hmm.
The parks are clearly not happy about it, and they have fired back with very public statements that are not characteristic. They try to be diplomatic, they try to to keep it behind closed doors, but they are pretty much slinging very pointed remarks back and forth. They're slamming each other like Jefferson and Hamilton.
Yeah, I remember when Josh D'Amaro's statement initially before all this stuff came out, and it was a little beefy, and everyone was like, what? And then Ken Potrock came out and basically said, the state will keep us closed for the foreseeable future, like directly placing blame on the state, which is so unlike them to do. And also highlighting how it's not just affecting cast members and Disney, but the community, because Disneyland is surrounded by local businesses in Anaheim, hotels, everything.
And that's the thing. Disney has very deep pockets, and the theme parks are only a small portion of the Disney Corporation's overall income. So Disney will survive.
Yeah.
But that mom-and-pop restaurant or family-owned hotel that's across the street from Disney, they're the ones who will suffer in this, for sure. This is one of those situations where there's really no winners. I feel like there's a lot of bad blood and mistrust on both sides. Mm-hmm. We're hearing about how the governor of California sent a undercover task force to the parks here in Orlando to investigate. And apparently they tried to hit all three resorts on a weekend.
What?
That's about the worst possible circumstance that you could possibly visit the parks under.
Yeah.
According to Disney, they didn't report back. They didn't share their findings. They didn't have any kind of back and forth. I think a company as big as Disney is used to having a seat at the table and having there be negotiations and them being dictated to like this. Under the best of circumstances, they would not be happy with that.
I believe the same situation happened to Universal Hollywood. I watched part of the press conference where they discussed all of this, and she said that they came out, they showed them everything that they had worked on, all of their guidelines, and they said, okay, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And they never got back to them, and then they came out with these guidelines, which I'm pretty sure we didn't mention it, and I'm trying to find it, but my speed reading is not the best. I'm pretty sure guests to each park are limited to those who live in that county.
Okay, so from my understanding of reading the guidelines, that is true for the smaller parks that are being allowed to reopen one level higher than the large parks. The smaller parks, I mean, are very small. I believe it's talking about something like 500 guests total.
Yeah.
So we're talking about not any of the Disney Legoland, not even Knott's Berry Farm. But when we talk about the larger parks, there was a draft of this proposal that I saw several weeks ago, a supposed draft that was very similar to this final guidelines, but did include that at the major parks, if you came from, I believe it was more than 250 miles away, that you would not be allowed to purchase a ticket. And that they just can't stand for. They can't put all of the labor and effort into reopening one of these theme parks and then say that no one who comes from even San Francisco is allowed to yeah. come in the gates, especially when they've got people who are annual pass holders all over the country, all over the world, to tell them that they can reopen, but they can't admit all those people who have already paid for tickets. That'd just be a recipe for disaster.
And then you have to think about, well, are they going to stop those guests' annual pass payments, or will the park be open? Mm-hmm. They're like, sorry, sucks for you. We're still going to charge you every month.
Yeah, I know personally, I have an annual pass that was going to expire a couple months after the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. So whenever the Disneyland does reopen, I'll have a couple months to get back there, assuming they allow me to. But I'm not expecting that to happen now until maybe like spring break of next year, like
yeah.
February, March, April, I'm hoping. And that's definitely a hope. That's not an expectation.
That's super optimistic.
Yeah. But there is something that might make it worth, I don't know if it'd be worth flying all the way out to California, but if you lived in the area, I would be all over this.
I honestly, it's about time. That
absolutely.
It's about time. So if you don't know, they have decided over at Disneyland to open up Buena Vista Street, specifically the food and beverage locations and the merchandise locations at Disney California Adventure for guests to enjoy. They call it extending downtown Disneyland. So you'll be able to go inside DCA and enjoy food and the atmosphere and not get to ride anything.
I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like that nightmare that you had when you were a kid that, like, you know, you finally got to go to Disney, but they let you in and wouldn't let you go on any of the rides.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that would be like an anxiety dream that I would have as a kid before a vacation when I was growing up. But, yeah, I mean, you've got these facilities, treat them like restaurants, treat them like shops, and apparently the state will let you open them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go for it. The ones that surprised, I did not expect to see Carthay Circle Lounge on
the list of
places that were open. And also Smoke Jumper Grill, because that's kind of edging off of Buena Vista Street. That's practically Soarin'. If they can open that up, let's get Soarin' going. That's not going to happen. But, you know, it'll be great just to walk onto Buena Vista Street again. Curiously, when they announced this, they were pretty emphatic, saying this is just Buena Vista Street. This is not Main Street on Disneyland.
Yeah.
I gotta think it's a test, though, that if this goes well, the next step would be to open Main Street on Disneyland. But I'm curious about how crowd control is going to be handled, because they've recently reopened one of the sound stages in the Hollywood section of DCA as a store. And they had sort of a backstage entrance to get people in there. And I've seen long queues just to get into that one store. So are they going to have people queue or have to get a return time just to get into DCA at all? You know, how are they going to control the crowd flow in and out of the street and then in and out of each store? It's great practice for them, but I have a feeling that just knowing how the Southern Californians have been flocking to downtown Disneyland to do not much other than shop in the World of Disney.
Yeah.
That, you know, if people waiting in long lines for that, they're certainly going to show up for this. I just hope that they're also waiting in long lines to vote, or, you know, if necessary.
Yes, please.
There's a segue for you.
What makes me, I just wonder if there will be enough to do, you know?
Right.
Like, because at some point, they'll have to be like, okay, no one new can come in for a little bit until we get some of these people out. Whereas at Knott's, you have, like, the whole park is a food festival.
Right. It almost feels like, you know, this is just a test, but it's... they could easily get overwhelmed. Like, you know, by trying, because they're going to have all those annual pass holders, all those people who have missed going to the parks, all trying to cram into that one little street. I'm can't wait to see the pictures from the first day of that, but I'm kind of glad that I won't be there in person.
How long do you think it'll take before someone tries to sneak over into Hollywood land to get pictures of Marvel?
I'd give that about 15 minutes.
We don't condone this. If you're planning on going. Amusement Labs said, I mean, this technically reads as DCA free admission. It does.
Yes. They're not going to charge you to walk into the street, but there's going to have to be some sort of crowd control.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do a food festival or something, like throw something together really quick and bring all those culinary cast members back. That would be great.
I'm all for anything that gets a paycheck to the cast members out in Anaheim.
Agreed. I am right there with you. But this starts in November. I've seen November 4th thrown around, but they haven't specifically said what day yet, to my knowledge. So your mileage may vary. But that's everything for me. We ended it on a happy note.
Yes. Yay. And we came in 8 minutes under, which makes up for last week,
where we went like 45 minutes. But before we go, I wanted to give some listener thank you shout outs. If you don't know, we have a subscription service at Attractions Magazine. We have three different tiers. And if you are the club or VIP tier, the week after you subscribe, you get your name announced with a little shout out on the Attractions Podcast every week. So
very prestigious.
Everyone wants to be on this list, okay? So this week, we'd like to give a shout out to Brian Gwen, Eleanor Allen, and Pam Anderson. Wow. Yay.
Pamela Anderson.
No. Not
Borat the- would be very impressed.
I watched both of those last night for the first time.
We watched them both this week, too.
We won't discuss that here.
I'll just say you should really watch the new one before you vote.
Yes. Oh, man. If that doesn't make you want to vote, I don't know what will. Thank you so much for being subscribers. It means
so much
to us. It helps us do cool stuff like this. And thank you so much. If you are interested, the fall 2020 issue of Attractions Magazine is available now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. You can read lots of cool things, like a feature on the Born Stuntacular by this guy right here. If you are interested in picking it up, check it out, please.
Buy two copies. Give one to a friend.
Ooh, yeah. They make great stocking stuffers. I've done this before. I'm getting one for my dog. He can't read yet. We're working on it. Now, Seth, if you would, tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter at S. Kuberski or at The UG Series, and check out the unofficial guides at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny, on Twitter and Instagram every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this right now. If you're here while we're recording, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. But until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.